Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the whole world has coronavirus on its mind. All sorts of things have been canceled, left and right. Schools have been closed. Store shelves are emptying. And all of that's happening right here in Las Cruces, where not a single person has been diagnosed with the disease. The world is full of fear. Well, viruses can be scary. But you know what? Demons are much scarier. Viruses can be dangerous. Demons can be far more dangerous. Viruses don't target people or try to deceive people, but demons do. And yet very few people are giving it a thought these days. Very few people take any reasonable precautions to stay safe from the demons. Very few practice social distancing from the demonic, sinful activities that threaten the soul. We're presented in today's gospel with the reality of demons for the third week in a row, actually. We hear an urgent warning to unbelievers who still remain in the strong man's kingdom, the devil's kingdom, and whose souls still remain under his influence, whether or not their bodies are possessed. We hear great comfort in our gospel for believers who are safe as long as we walk with Jesus and take refuge in the stronger man. But at the same time, it's also a warning to believers that you should not take for granted the redemption that Christ has given you from the devil's kingdom, lest you sweep the Holy Spirit out of your hearts and allow the devil to come back in with a vengeance. The devil may not possess people's bodies the same way he did when Jesus walked the earth, but the devil is most surely still your enemy. Jesus shows his power over the devil in the gospel as he drives out the demon from the man who was mute and couldn't speak because of the demon afflicting him. Matthew's gospel adds that the man was also blind. Well, Jesus healed him, released that poor man from the torment he was suffering at the hands of the devil. That's the kind of Savior he always showed himself to be, merciful, with divine power over sickness, over nature, even over the mighty spiritual forces that none of us can touch and not even see. He always gave this kind of help to those who came to him for help, and he never asked for anything in return. It was his free grace and favor. As Matthew tells us, these miracles that Jesus was doing, especially his power over the demons, were causing people to wonder, could this Jesus be the Son of God? Could this Jesus be the Christ? Of course, they were right. But there was that whole group of people, the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests, who didn't want the people going off after Jesus and believing in him, and so they had to come up with a blasphemous accusation against Jesus in order to brand him with it, so the people would doubt. He casts out demons through Beelzebub, the ruler of demons, and others tested him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. For the sake of the believers there, and for those who would believe, Jesus chose to answer those accusations. He didn't want to leave them wondering if just maybe the Pharisees were right. Because if someone starts to believe that Jesus might just be on the devil's side, then that person is lost. There are only two sides in this great war, God's side and the devil's side, enemies against each other. And if Jesus is on the devil's side, then he has nothing to do with God. And to believe that is fatal. So first, Jesus points out how foolish the accusation was in the first place, that he was driving out demons by the power of the prince or the ruler of demons. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to ruin, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan has suddenly turned against himself, is driving out his own demons, then Satan's kingdom must fall apart, and you have nothing to fear from him at all. He will self-destruct. But that isn't the case. It's a strong kingdom over which Satan rules, and his demon allies are perfectly united in their hatred toward God and in their hatred toward our human race, and in their purpose to keep the human race bound in the strong man's palace. Keep men blind to the truth of God. Keep men mute from being able to confess the true God or utter a word of praise. Or if someone is plucked out of the devil's kingdom and brought into the Holy Church of Christ by the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament, then the demons make it their united goal to entice those who have entered Christ's kingdom to leave it again. Secondly, Jesus answers those who were looking for a sign from heaven. He challenges them, "If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? So they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Matthew tells us that when the people saw Jesus casting out demons, they marveled and said, "This has never been seen in Israel." So for as much as the Jews may have been trying to exorcise demons, no one was able to do it except for Jesus. Here he is driving them out with a word, with the finger of God, or as Matthew says, the Spirit of God. So it's the same thing. You want a sign from heaven that Jesus comes from God? Look at his power over the demons. Power that no one on earth, no doctor on earth, has ever had or ever will. And beware, because if only Jesus has power over the demons, then those who turn away from Jesus will be running right into the demons' open arms. We shouldn't envision the devil as being stupid or weak. Jesus describes him here as a strong man, well-armed, who guards his palace, whose possessions are secure. No man on earth can stand up to the devil or defeat him or escape from his well-guarded palace or rescue those who are held prisoner there, which is all people by nature. This is Jesus' third argument against the Pharisees. What Jesus is doing on earth is not helping the devil to gain a kingdom. The devil already has a kingdom, and he doesn't need any help holding on to it. No man can defeat him. Instead, Jesus has come to the earth because he is the only person who is stronger than the devil. He is the Son of God, and he is the sinless Son of Man, unable to be accused by the devil of anything, and therefore unable to be overcome by the devil. He has come to earth to redeem sinful men from the devil's kingdom and to give his own life on the cross in the sinner's place, and so to tie up the devil so that he can no longer accuse or hold captive any who trust in Christ Jesus, the stronger man who came to destroy the devil's work. So again, those who trust in Christ are delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the beloved Son of God, while those who reject Christ remain trapped in the devil's house. Now Jesus issues a warning. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. To be with Christ is to trust in him for help against our great enemies, sin, death, and the devil. To gather with Christ is to hear his word and do his works, to be, as Paul said to the Ephesians, imitators of God as dearly loved children, and to walk in as children of the light, to serve the people of Christ in his holy church, and to show the love of Christ to the world. Make no mistake, there is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. There is no half-hearted Christianity. There is either faith that works in love and obedience to Christ, or there is unbelief. See how urgent it is to heed Christ's call to come to him for rest and for mercy, to come to him in repentance and receive his forgiveness, to come to him for his word, to strengthen your faith each day. Those who believe in him are safe from the devil. Those who reject Christ are on the devil's side, even if unknowingly. Jesus then issues a final warning. He describes something that none of us can see. He describes what happens when a demon goes out of a person. He says it wanders around for a while, and then it returns to its former home. And if it finds the former home swept, put in order, he brings along seven other spirits more wicked than himself, so that the last state of that man is worse than the first. In other words, if the demon finds that your heart is vacant, without the Holy Spirit dwelling there, he will move back in. Now, that isn't just a warning to those who have been possessed by a demon and had that demon exorcised. It's also a warning to all those who hear the gospel and who received holy baptism, which first released them from the devil's power and brought with it the Holy Spirit. But then they grow tired of hearing it. They return to sin like a dog to its vomit. And they walk away from the church and away from the ministry of the word. In doing that, they expose themselves again to the virus of sin. They drive out the Holy Spirit himself from their hearts. What a terrible power God has allowed them to have. And so they invite the demons back in. God isn't playing around with any of this, is he? The Christian faith is a matter of life and death all the time, much more so than any earthly disease. You have no power to save yourself from the devil's kingdom. No amount of hand-washing will help. But God gave his Son for you to rescue you from sin, death, and the devil. He gives his Holy Spirit to you in this word and in his sacraments to convict you of sin and to show you the goodness of Jesus, to wash you clean of sin and guilt in holy baptism, to bring you to faith in him, to forgive you your sins, and to keep you firm in the faith. Listen to his words and take heed to his warning. Finally, at the end of our gospel, a woman stands up in the crowd and makes a very pious-sounding statement, thinking she'll impress Jesus with it. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. Blessed is your mother, Jesus. How foolish. What is it to you if the Virgin Mary is blessed, which she is, or if Christ himself is blessed? Christ wasn't speaking to the crowds that day so that they could dwell on the blessedness of other people. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Christ taught the people so that they themselves could hear his word and be blessed through it and keep it. In the same way, right now, Christ is teaching you so that you may hear his word, believe it, and then go on to keep it and be blessed forever. It does you no good against the devil to think of the Virgin Mary and her blessedness. What does you good is to believe that the strong Lord Jesus came to redeem you from the devil's kingdom by his holy precious blood, and to bring you into his kingdom through holy baptism, and to keep you in his kingdom through his word and sacraments. He wants for you to be blessed, and as you hear his word, to keep it as the treasure of your heart. And so you will be blessed. There are lots of viruses all around us in this world. That's part of suffering the consequences of sin in the world. But there are plenty of demons too. The devil, Peter says, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is strong. Jesus is stronger. Call on him who is stronger. He will come to your aid. And sing confidently with David as his words are recorded in today's introit and in today's gradual. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. The Lord will surely deliver you from all your enemies, including the devil. And if not even the mighty devil can harm you, if even he can't separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, what really can a little virus do? Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.